Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I think she gives us a treat to eat, and then she makes us work it off. I don't
That's my plan. Yes, that's my plan.
There's a theory I'm finding in this thing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I know we've already entered into your presence, and you've been here with us, Lord, through that of the music and through the teaching, Lord. We say it's a teaching for the children, Lord, but I think your word tells us to come unto you as children. And so we receive even what Terry was sharing about prayer and the importance of it, the power of it, how you respond to it, Lord. And thank you, Father, for always being there. I love you, and I'm sure everyone here loves you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read, and then we'll kind of get into where I want to go with this. But it was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as I was looking at this, and just verse 1 through 11, the day of the Lord is the topic of what this particular area of the scripture is talking about. But it says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord comes as a what? Thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Be self-controlled is another way of saying that. "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." So as I read that this week and just looking at it, I began to look at some other thoughts around that. I'm trying to figure out where we wanted to go. Where do you want to go, God, with this? How's the leading of the Holy Spirit? What are we to hear from some of this? So as believers, we should be living all out for God. Don't you believe that? Every day, every move. What a fitting song. Every move I make in you. You make me move. Who? Jesus. Throughout the day and what we're living in right now, we need to be expressing that every day. We should be living it all out for God. Before you came to God, you were living it all out for the devil, weren't you? We should seek to honor and reflect God in all that we think, all that we say, all that we do, every move we make. As followers of Christ, we should not only know the commands of Scripture, but we should be doing them. It's so good to know the Scriptures, but what good is knowing them if you don't put them to use? Somebody would tell me, "I know how to make a great prime rib, or I know how to make a great, you know, beef rub on the grill and slow cook it. I know how to do that." My next thing is, when can I expect it? Yeah, tell me you can do it, but I want proof, you know? I want my taste buds to say, "Yeah, you know what you're talking about." So we can say these things, we can know these scriptures, we can read the Bible, we can know all of these things, but if we don't put them into our everyday walk, our everyday breath of what we are about, you can have your scriptures. Because I want to see it in action. Because it's only when we put it in action that you're going to draw people to those scriptures that you know so well, because they're going to say, "Wow, you're this or you're that during this time." You know, and we use this many times about your peace, your calmness, your quietness, you're not full of anxiety. How is that with the so many things taking place? Well, it's because of this relationship I have with my God. Through the scriptures that I read, it gives me the confidence, it gives me the peace, it gives me the tranquility, it gives me the understanding that God is in control. And when we know that someone is in control, that has a higher power, more strength, more ability, all-knowing than what I or you know, Doesn't that, or shouldn't that set us at ease? Because nothing's going to surprise my God. Nothing that the enemy tries to foil me with and bring across my path, that is not surprising to God what the enemy has tried to do to me. Now, if I'm not tuned into God and listening to Him by that of the Holy Spirit, what the enemy has tried to do and ruin me could come about. I could be snared in those things. But if I come into those situations, or I see them coming, or the Spirit of God gives me a warning, He's there to protect me and guard me and keep me. Is He doing that for you today? Has He done that for you today? Amen. Why should we have fear? So I started looking. Godliness is knowing the commands of Scripture and doing them. Knowing the commands of Scripture and doing them. Now, we're going past the Ten Commandments. We're going into the commands that we read in His Word for so many things. Now, if we were to look at one of the most frequent commands that we find in Scripture, what do you think would come to mind? Just a, you know, one of the most frequent commands that we're told. Thank you, Linda, for... Now, how many knew that? No. Throw that page away. But you're right, fear. Or some version of it. Do not be afraid. But some people would say maybe don't lie, don't steal, don't murder, love your enemies, do unto others as you would like to have them love. You know, all these things that we, and those are commands, aren't they? Now, I don't know if I can get it here today to pull up. I found a thing to where there was like 1,000 and some out commands just in the New Testament. If you get into various things that He told us not to do or do. And I'll see if we can get that going here in just a minute. There are certainly a lot of biblical and good commands that we are to follow day in and day out. But they're not repeated as much or with that much frequency as that do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Listen at all that's going on. I don't know if it's concern, this, that, or the other, but we even have many believers of Christ and followers of God that I think have a fear of this virus. It is interesting what it's doing to our churches. You know, this past Wednesday we had our pastor's thing, or was there, or did I share this the week before? But what it is we talked about, I said, church as we have known it before March of this year was you attend service. You attend in person in a sanctuary as a body of Christ. Since March on now, it's been a different myriad of ideas. For a while there, it was shut down. Nobody could join together as a fellowship, as a body. All of a sudden, we started doing more YouTubing and Zooming and live streaming, and then some of us just recorded it and put it online and sent it out as a recording for people to listen to. But those times that I did that, the sanctuary was empty. I was standing up here all by myself and just speaking to myself. I told the other pastor, as I said, I really started enjoying it because I didn't have to see people falling asleep on me. Because nobody was here. You know, I could keep myself awake. Yeah, you know. And so we got, you know, streaming, live service. We even got some now that are in-person service, but if those that don't want to come, it's streaming, so you can watch it then in the convenience of your home. We got churches now that, and they're just still going full board on this, where it's just parking lot service only. You can stay in your pajamas, drive up, turn your radio on, sit there, read the paper, the funny paper, and have the message going, whatever the case is, and you're in your car. So think of how this whole thing is changing our churches. And how are we as churches, or the church is us, but how does a corporate church, an entity, deal with all this stuff that's out there to try to satisfy and meet the needs of this person, this person, this person, this person, this person, this person, trying to make them feel comfortable and safe in a arena of, some will say, I cannot go to church service because, you know, they're protecting, you know, grandmas and those that are susceptible to it. And that's okay. I understand that. But I also, am I the only one? But I have heard a lot, I think, within some of our Christian levels, fear. Because they hear this thing over and over and over of the numbers, of it's spreading and all of these things. And if it is, it is. And yeah, you know, I don't want to be cavalier about it. But it's like, you know, I cannot, you can only live that long as far as shutting down yourself for about 30 to 45 days, I would think. You know, your psyche starts really going crazy because we need fellowship. We need to get out. We need to be able to go and do rather than stay home and just shut in. You shut in, you shut into yourself. Pretty soon you're just shut into your house. All of a sudden you're shut into that room that you stay in all day. Another week or two or a month goes by, you're shut into just yourself now. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy will love to come and play in that area where you're sheltered in at and feed upon your fear. The what ifs. This could happen. That could happen. Went to the doctor. Said, you're doing well, Tim. But I told the doctor, I said, well, that's great. But I said, I can walk out and get hit by a bus. You know, I was like, don't build me up like I'm doing so good. Wow. But guys, you can't live in fear. You cannot be afraid. God must have known something about this. If you do some searching online, in fear, of fear, do not be afraid, you can find, like I think it said, like a devotion for 365 days. One for every day, dealing with be not afraid, have no fear. Do not be afraid appears approximately 200 times. Do not be afraid. This does not include the variants of fear not or do not fear and some other parts of that. It would bring the count up to 365 times that it is mentioned in God's word. Because he knew we were going to be people of possible fear. Because we look at all the stuff that's going on around us, fear. We hear the things that are being done, fear. Prior to a lot of things, I had fear of going to the doctor. You know, you go to the doctor, it's like they're going to find something. I just know it. But fear of doctors, fear of needles, fear of heights, fear of your boss, fear of this, fear of that. It's kind of like it's there with us. But there's things that God says, do not be afraid. I think of this about the times that are coming. Tribulations. Oh my goodness. It's going to be what it's going to be. Whether it's post, pre, where. Where am I at in this, that, or the other? Am I going to be out of here and everybody else? I haven't a clue. I just want to be found where God wants me to be. I don't have to get into all of the dynamics and the understandings because all of these things that we find of these men of learned understandings of all of this historical stuff, you get to the point of it and they say, it is of my opinion. I just want to be ready. I just want to be doing what God wants me to be doing. I want to be walking in what God wants me to be walking in. I want to be faithful to his call that he has me to be in. And all this other stuff is up to him. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be of fear. But the children of Israel, when they went through, there was a lot of plagues and a lot of things in Egypt that they went through. But the children that were of his did not experience those plagues. They always had substance. They always had food. They always had the water. Their cattle didn't even get sick. You know, you just go through that whole gamut, which we did way back with this COVID thing, as children of God, that he will take care of you. He will take care of his kids. Hallelujah. But we got to walk with that of God. But in God's word, do not be afraid. Over 200 times. Do not be afraid. Going into this time of where we're at in the society, things that we see in the elections, things that we see down the road, just don't be afraid. God has it. He's in control. So looking at this particular command, some key takeaways we learn from this is fear of the unknown is the tendency to be afraid. Fear of the unknown. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Child of God, you know where you're going to spend eternity, so you should have, we have no fear of that. If I die by that of health, if I die by that of an accident, if I die because some rock falls out of the atmosphere and hits me, you know, I know where I'm going to be. No fear. Fear of the unknown is the tendency to be afraid. When you have no information on any level about something that you face, as a child of God, the things that we face, as a child of God, as we go through this life, as the things that he tells us, trials, persecution, count it all joy, whatever, it's okay. He's forewarned us of those things. Is there a difference between fear and afraid? Fear talks about that of respect, reverence, and trust. Being afraid is when you worry about something. We worry usually because of things that are out of our control. When I can't control it, when I don't have the understanding of it, when I don't have the ways and the means to figure this out, I could become afraid of that. But fear is a respect, a reverence, a trust. Fear is good. Fear is good in its right context when you have fear. Fear will protect you. Afraid is when you're worrying about something. Boy, we got a lot of people worrying right now, don't we? It just depends, but there's people always worrying about something. Webster would say about afraid and a fear is this: afraid is filled with fear or apprehension, filled with concern or regret over an unwanted situation, such as, fill in the blank, I'm afraid of, whatever that might be. Fear is this: an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger, anxious concern, or a profound reverence and awe. Who do we have that profound reverence and awe towards? God. His word tells us to what? Fear me. With a reverential fear, fear God. I fear him because I respect him. I fear him for I know who he is. I fear him to know his capabilities, but I also understand that I'm a child of his. And he loves me, and he protects me. And so I honor him. I respect him. I laugh with him, and we have fun. And then there's those times that I get serious with him, and I say, I'm sorry, God. I love you, Lord. Forgive me. I keep him where he needs to be, the first and top in my life. That's reverential fear. As we know, we all have some type of fear. We've already talked about that. Now, in the Bible, we'll find that fear, it says, it's like a phobia. There's like three different area definitions of fear in the Bible, depending upon where it's at and how it's used. But this one here, it's defined as a panic that grips a person, causing him to run away, to be alarmed, scared, frightened, dismayed, filled with dread, intimidated, anxious, apprehensive. Well, I could probably find many of us could tag our name onto three or four of those things at any one time, you know. That's fear. But today, if we look at this word of God that says, not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, God is so good. Do you agree? He is so good. And there's just a few things here for this morning that we'll hit upon here. And there's a few more things that I'd like to get into. But it's just here that when God, see, God is a God. And generally the things that he tells us not to do, there's a reason why. Or if he tells us something, there's something there to back it up to where he's going to be there. And so just briefly, when he tells us not to be afraid, in Exodus 14:13, it says, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. But then he goes on and says, why? The deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will do something. He's there in your corner. He's going to fight for you. He's going to protect you. He's just saying to him, don't be afraid, and do what? Stand firm. Though all of these things are against you, all of these obstacles are there, and the children in Israel, you're hauling these people across this land, and we're going to cross over to the promised land, and all these things are there. But he's saying to him, stand firm and do not be afraid. How about this in Deuteronomy? It also talks about, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. But as we look at these things that God is telling us to do or not do, this is Moses and the children. Let's see, 14:13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, okay? Moses is telling them because God has told Moses, right, of what's going to take place. So, and Moses says to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see, you shall see again no more forever. Moses telling because he had a time with crossing, and as God was relaying these things to Moses, how he was going to see these people through, what a way to stand before that to say that this, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. in verse 14. But again, Moses is saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid today, guys. I think as we get into Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy 3:22. Verse 21 says, and I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, he will fight for you. He's a God today that is fighting for us today. He is fighting in your battle. Anybody here got a battle? You know, if you don't have a battle, I'm sure there's some people in here today say, I got five going on right now. I'll give you three. You know, hey, I'm not stingy. You can have part of my battles. But do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. That was Deuteronomy 3:22. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God fights for you. And isn't that right? And how exciting that is when you back up to 21. Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. Past things that he's done, he's going to do future things in your battles. Because I'm going to tell you, when you finish one battle today, or if you had a battle last week and it's done, you probably have another battle coming up somewhere along the next week or two. I don't want to be the doom and gloom preacher, you know, but I'm going to just tell you, life has a way of those things happening. But the Lord goes before us. The Lord handles those things for us. I don't have to be afraid of what I'm going to come into. Even though, remember, we talk about fear, it's like the things of the unknown. I don't really know what's going to happen next week, but all I know is that whatever happens, I can go to my God and I can ask for his help and his assistance, or knowing the love and how God is with me, how is he with you, I think there's times that he takes those obstacles out of my path and I don't even know there was going to be a battle. How many times in your path that you've been on with him that you passed by an area and he already cleaned it up for you? We will never know. But there's those times that I've got to believe that God has gone before me, and all of a sudden how many have we thought in ourselves, we thought, boy, I've got to go and do this or that, or I've got to give attention to this next week or whatever the case might be. And you get to that situation in your life, that life event, and you get there and it was like nothing. It's like, really? I was worried about this a week or so back. Could it not have been that God went before you because it was on your heart, or you began to think about it, but he already knew. And how he loves us. Oh, how he loves me. Yeah. That he goes and does those battles even before I even get even close to the battleground. In Joshua 10:10-8, it says, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. See, these are things that he's saying, do not, but we're thought process is this, do not be afraid, fear not, and all these things. And we have an example that when he says those things, God has usually an action in it that he's going to do something on your behalf or in your behalf. He's going to take care of those situations. Do not fear or be afraid. I have given them unto your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. One more, just really quick. Luke 12:32 talks about this. Do not fear or be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. You got the kingdom, folks. Are you going to grab it? Are you going to get into it? Are you going to enter into his kingdom? Are you going to stay outside that and deal with all the other junk and stuff in life? I'm going to go into his kingdom. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be in this kingdom here on this earth. I'm going to go to, the heavenly kingdom, and I get called home. But as I'm here on this earth, I'm going to do all I can. Remember, we get back to that point of whatever's going to take place in the future and things like that, is just to be found in his presence, doing what he's asked us to do. And if I'm here, we need to be reclaiming ground. I know some of our times in prayers on Tuesday nights, and we've talked a little bit more about it even last Tuesday, about the atmosphere and the changing of the atmosphere and the prophetic that's going forth. There has got to be a phenomenal amount of prophecy and download information, or whatever we want to call it, by that of God into those that he's speaking to in this land, in this nation, around the world. Those men and women that are here, those that are prophetic. And now we all might hear today, get a sensing from God on something. We can all hear that. It talks about that. But there are some that has that gifting, and those that are just totally tuned into God, and they just hear this, and they write an article, or they send out something. But there has been so much going on with what God is sending into this time. This is a very, 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 I don't know what, a very, very special time, a very concerning time. There's a lot of things hanging in the balance as a society and even as people that we know as far as how things are ruled and not ruled within our nation. My goodness. The evil that is trying to destroy this nation. The evil is out there to destroy this world. Amen. But we have got such a level and a high energy of evil in this nation right now. And you know what? It's not even hiding its head. They're actually being bold to say that I will make it a law to abortion is legal. It's a law now.
At 9 months,
full term. That it's legal? Really? I mean, they're not. The enemy is so emboldened by what he thinks he sees. He just doesn't know the total outcome because he's not aware of that. God has only given him enough to see what he thinks is like, hey, we're going to just do this and this and this, I guess. But we as the children of God, taking the kingdom power, the kingdom that comes upon us, is here with us in this place today, is that we need to take that stand over this nation, over the evils, over the spiritual realm that is overseeing this whole country right now through the political, through the medical, through just our society as a whole. People are getting shot for just being this or that. You don't have the right t-shirt on. Shoot you, kill you, unload their gun in you. They want something, they'll take it from you because they think they deserve it because you got it and I want it. It's the way we want this country to be now. I mean, it's crazy, guys. Crazy. So we've got to be about our Father's business. And our Father has placed us here in this nation. I was blessed to be born in America. How about you? Some of you weren't born in America, but you're blessed to be here in America. Amen. Naturalized. I mean, she has got some wonderful stories of her early life over in Europe and the communism and Russia and all of that. I mean, we would have church here. Church would be done at 12:10. We'd be sitting back there having coffee, and it could be 1:30, quarter to 2. And Ina would be sharing, and Jan would be there, and myself and all. I just love to hear. You find those that have come from other countries into this nation that have been naturalized, came through the right way, become U.S. citizen, and they tell you how blessed they are to be in this nation and how America is such a blessed country and what they came from over there. And to see some of the people that have been born in this country have been so perverted in their thoughts and their desires that the enemy is using them to destroy this country from within. And so that's where we have to take that stand of the kingdom authority. I'm not running in fear, guys. I am not afraid. I'm going to stand. And we're going to charge with that of the power of God. And we're going to call him down into this nation. We're going to call him down into this election. We're going to call him down into, you know, anything and everything that is being coverted and perverted and turned upside down. Because back in the Old Testament where it says that evil will be good and good will be evil. All this thing is happening right before our eyes. They could say something at 8 o'clock in the morning is bad. By 5 o'clock, all of a sudden it's turned out to be good. It's like, what happened there? Killing of innocent lives, killing of babies, that's okay. We're going to do this. We're going to expand that. We're going to take that away from you. We're going to give this to everybody. Doesn't work. Socialism. Somewhere along the line, somebody's got to be given. Well, the way they get it is they take from those that do have and that are prosperous, and that only lasts for so long. And then the country goes down to the tubes. You know, wasn't a year or so back, a couple of years back, down in Venezuela, South America, they went through a very socialistic thing down there. And I thought it was kind of crazy when they said, the simplest thing of going to the grocery store and finding a roll of toilet tissue, basic products, were not to be found in those socialist countries, because it converted back or reverted to that, eaten out of garbage cans. Total blech. And then we get into March in the United States of America, and we get a pandemic, and what is the one thing we lose all of a sudden? Toilet paper. Toilet paper and pizzas. But it's like, if nothing else, we need to take this snapshot of this time. And when God says that suddenlies, things will change overnight. You won't have this or that like you think now. We would always poo-hoo it and say, it can't happen that fast. For crying out loud, we're America. But it happens fast. It turns upside down. But I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And I'm not going to be in fear. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to stand in prayer. I'm going to intercede for this nation. I'm going to intercede for our government, our leadership. And I'm going to believe the hand of God is upon them. And I keep praying, Lord, give us the leadership that we deserve in the good sense, not the leadership that we deserve because you people didn't stand for your nation. You did not intercede for this country. You did not pray to me. You did not interject me into your life. And you get what you deserve. But God is a love and grace and mercy. And as we can go back and repent and say, oh, Lord, we fell. Lord, we failed 50 years ago. We failed 75 years ago. We failed 22 years ago. Whatever the case is, of not paying attention to what these things are being slowly brought in by that of evil, then that all of a sudden it has just reared its head. And God, I think, allowed that to happen to say, my church better be alert and better be aware, not be afraid, not be in fear, but you better know where you're at with me. And you better know that I've got it in control. And there ain't going to be, nothing's going to happen to you unless I allow it to happen. But you will deserve what you deserve if you don't toe the line. I've given you my word. I've given you the things to be aware about. I've told you what to set your eyes upon. I don't think we've set our eyes upon the right things at times. We've set it on man's stuff. We've set it on, oh, everything is going so well. America, great country, won't have a problem. We'll never be taken over by, you know, a foreign country. They'll never come to our shores and take over and do this or do that. 9/11 brought that to our attention, that destruction can come on this very sacred ground. It doesn't have to come by boats and waves of men and troops and tanks. So I don't know where it all leads us, guys, but it's like a 9/11-ish type thing. It was like an awakening to say, you better start getting serious with me, folks, because my hand of provision and protection only goes for so long. I think our president at the point at this time, God bless him. He's done some of the most for the Jewish people and for Jerusalem and Israel than any of our other political politicians, Democrat or Republican. Brought the embassy back, honoring the people, the Jewish people, keeping our ties or getting our ties stronger back with them. And look at this nation. Oh boy, where is this going, Lord? So as we've gotten into this time of this pandemic and the economy was so growing phenomenally in 2019, where we were at, in January of 2020, where we were at. And then all of a sudden this thing happens, and of course things happen, and it goes down. But even with it going down, I believe the hand of God's blessing upon us, because with all of this that has taken place, and I feel so bad for those mom and pop individual standing stores out there, because that's really the backbone of America. How many have lost those positions, lost their companies, lost their jobs, lost their livelihood, lost their whole savings? Not only just because of the pandemic, but because of the lawlessness and the riots and the burning and the looting and all of these things. We thought we could handle the pandemic. That might have been a piece of cake. It's the lawlessness, the anarchy, and those that want to destroy our nation is more to be feared than this coronavirus. But I believe, as our current president has been so involved with Israel and honoring God's chosen country, his chosen people, even coming off of this craziness, We have seen a pretty good spike of some numbers going back up, good for an economy. I mean, even within a three-month, two-month, two-and-a-half-month period of time. I mean, it took quite a hit. Quite a hit. And I'm not saying it, but it's a blessing of the Lord, I believe. But it's because as you bless my people, my nation, my country, Israel, Jerusalem, the Jewish people, God begins to pour out blessings upon those that bless those that he blesses. And is that all in this whole thing? I don't know, guys. I don't know. But it's out there. I mean, it's a whirlwind. Woo! Hang on. Hang on. But we have the victory. We have the victory. I will, next week, I'll finish up here in regards to the other fears. Because there is that reverential fear and there's some other fears, those three fears I want to look at. Because there are rightfully placed fear. And then there's that fear that the enemy puts upon us to keep us out of sorts. And if the enemy can keep us out of sorts, keep us from praying, keep our focus off of God and focus on the problem rather than focus on the problem taker care, if I just focus on him, didn't somewhere in his word say, all these other things shall be added to you, or, you know, just focus on this and all this, I'll take care of all this other gobbledygook out there. He just wants a people that loves him, worships him. So God has given us these commands and these sayings on what we are to follow. And it's for a plan and a purpose. It is really for our benefit. It's for our benefit. But I'm going to focus on God. And he'll take care of all this stuff. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for your word. And your word is true. Lord, your word is what we need to live by, honor, obey, and follow daily in our lives. It sustains us. It directs us. Father, thank you. And Lord, as we look at this word even today and one of the commands and how often of do not to be afraid, Lord, let us not be afraid of these things that we see. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, because you're there to help us. You're there to be with us. You're there to get us through those events that could have caused fear within us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Father. And I trust you, and I love you, and I know what you have already done for me. You've already been there so many times. So why should I not expect it even in the future, Father? As we go today, Lord, bless each and every one. I pray health, divine health over them. Father, this COVID virus, I just pray strength and health upon each and every one of our bodies, our family members, those around us, our friends, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, a ripple effect would just go wherever I'm at, Lord. Let that ripple effect just go from me to those around me of your blessings and protection, Lord. And it's not because of me, it's because of you in me, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us. We just thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.